Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, hour number two. And I greatly appreciate you. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, chosengenerationradio.com. Click on the Listen tab up here, and you'll be able to listen to all of our programs. They're all lined out for you. You can also go just a little bit down the page, and you'll see all of the different variances of podcasts that are available. The different programs from iHeart and iTunes and TuneIn and PodChaser and Podcaster and Deezer and Spotify and all those different ones. Pick your flavor that you're that you follow, and follow us over there. And you can listen to our new programming each and every day. As I mentioned at the top of last hour, I was out last week. I had a bit of a medical situation that arose, and it necessitated me taking some time off to recuperate. So I'm glad to be back, and look forward to a good week. And just one other quick piece. We did that big India outreach the week before I was off, and we had over 1,000 people accept Jesus Christ at that revival, and over 400 people that gave testimonies of God doing miraculous healings in their lives. So we are excited about that, and excited about what God's doing and the revival that's taking place. We now have over 1,000 churches in Punjab, India. All right. It's my sincere pleasure to welcome my next guest to the program. He is the chair of the Chicago Republican Party. And I want to welcome to the program, you can find him at chicagogop.com, Stephen Bolton. Stephen, welcome. Good to have you.
My pleasure.
Well, and I understand you got some nice weather today in Chicago.
It's a gorgeous day in Chicago, a beautiful fall morning.
Marvelous, marvelous. I wish the weather matched everything else that was going on in Chicago, as I'm sure you do as well.
The weather is one good thing we have going on. There aren't many.
Boy. So let's, first of all, let's talk about you have a new mayor that's come in, and I guess the question on a lot of people's mind is there any change? Is the new mayor, a lot of people were hoping that maybe, the new mayor might move Chicago in a different direction, but there were others who were saying that wasn't going to be the case and it could get worse. You're so far, your assessment.
The new mayor has one thing in common with the old mayor, which is he's in over his head. However, beyond that, they're a little bit different in that the new mayor is even more radical socialist than the old mayor. Lori Lightfoot had some restraint. Brandon Johnson doesn't believe in restraint. He is a puppet of the teachers union here in Chicago. And the Chicago teachers union is a unique thing. It is the local one. It is the original teachers union in the United States. And Chicago has a long history of radical politics from the International Workers of the World, the Wobblies, and on down. So radical leftist politics are nothing new in Chicago. However, what's going on is that the Chicago Teachers Union has become so powerful that they have effectively installed their guy in the mayor's office, something they've been trying to do for decades. And now they've done it. And now we have a mayor that is following a very hard left agenda, just like you've seen in other cities,
okay,
except this city being so large, the ramifications of that are becoming catastrophic.
Going along the line of understanding the teachers union, and I have worked to try to explain to my audience about the power of the teachers union and the power they have over the teachers that are in the classroom. I actually got into a little bit of this on a commentary back and forth on a Facebook post that was made, where someone was addressing the issue of, you know, teachers and thank you for all your hard work and so on. And somebody else put in and said, yeah, thanks for indoctrinating our kids. And that started, of course, obviously a whole line of conversation. But how much of an impact is the teachers union having on the frontline teacher in the classroom?
Oh, quite a bit, because they're controlling the agenda. And the more understand that the Chicago Teachers Union is not a monolith. They have their own groups within it. There are really three groups within the Chicago Teachers Union. One is what's called the Members First, which is a more conservative centrist organization, but they're only about 30%, 25% of the membership. Then you have what I'd call the left group, CORE, C-O-R-E, which is in control of the union now. And then there's another group even further to the left of CORE that are just borderline Bolsheviks. And so that is the makeup of that. And the left is firmly in control. And what they're doing is they are setting the agenda because they have so many members that they can put people on the street in an election in numbers that you just wouldn't believe, because they'll get the whole city to pay for them. Then on the other hand of it, they now have the ability to put the knife to the throat of any mayor by calling a teacher strike, which is a disaster for parents all across the city. So this is the danger of public sector unions, is that now they're so powerful that they are dictating to the public and to the city council what will happen, because if it doesn't, you're going to see our people in the streets and you're going to pay the price. And they begin to get, and so now Chicago, as a direct result of that, is turning more and more socialist, just hardcore socialist in its makeup in the city council, to the alarm of a lot of people.
Would you suggest that that is something that is just a symptomatic of only Chicago? Or is that something, as you look on the broader spectrum, that's happening across the country, California, New York, and locations in between?
Well, I don't think it's by accident. I'll explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
I think that broadly in the United States, the American hard left tried to do everything outside of the structures of the government, such as the weathermen, the protest movements, a lot of that. And then they finally came to the conclusion that, you know, if we're going to change things to what we want, we have to take control of that system. So now with their billions from Soros and other people, they are very determinedly to take over major structures in American society to install what they want, such as the district attorneys. That's been a target. That's not an accident that all these district attorneys suddenly are leftists. That's because the American hard left decided to put in the billions of Soros and other people to get those people elected. Similarly, what they also realized was by taking control of a municipal union, you can put the knife to the throat of the municipal government and bring the city to a halt if you want to, so you can get your way. They looked at a lot of unions and realized they weren't going to do well with the police union. They weren't going to do well with the firemen's union. But when they looked at the teachers union, suddenly there's a fertile little area with all those intellectuals.
Sure.
So they've gone after the teachers unions nationwide. And I have people inside of the Chicago Teachers Union that tell me that they are talking to each other across the country. It is not just individual little islands. There is, I wouldn't say it's completely a mass conspiracy or something, but there's certainly interconnection and there's certainly network and there's certainly a lot of talking going on between these various teachers unions on their social agenda and how they're going to install it.
Right, right. Well, I just got a message. Ken Mercer's a former member of the Texas State School Board of Education, and he wrote to me, elected Democrat leaders are revising and rewriting history. Democrats are pushing your tax dollars for books in our public schools that now promote this agenda. Republicans and making our nation great are really the KKK. They're actually inserting that into the books, into the textbooks that are now being read and studied and propagated in our schools.
It's all intentional, and it's all politics. It's all bringing in the new regime, if you will, of how the society is going to operate. The challenge here is fundamental, and it is potent. I wouldn't underestimate these people. They know what they're doing, and you can see that because of all the mayors and district attorneys that are now installed across the country. So it is a culture war to a certain extent, and the Chicago Teachers Union is one of the major players in the fight. However, when you look at the teachers union, you also see the hypocrisy that lies behind all that. Rules for thee, but not for me. It just came out last week that the very vocal president of the Chicago Teachers Union, Stacey Davis Gates, has her son in a private Catholic school in Chicago. And then it comes out that as many as 40% of teachers in the Chicago Teachers Union send their kids to public schools because they won't send them to the Chicago public schools because the public schools are completely ineffective. They're all getting paid substantial amounts of money in a school system where 10% of Black students can't read a grade level, 16% of Hispanic students can't read a grade level, and that school system is overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic. So we're talking about most of the children in those school systems. So the taxpayer is paying a tremendous amount of money. They're not getting I'll give an example. For example, 7% of all the Chicago teacher union salaries have to go to their pension fund.
Right.
Well, they put the knife to the throat of the city, and now the taxpayers are paying 5% out of that 7%. So we're literally it just never stops with these people. So well, and
go ahead.
And the taxpayers take it in the neck every time.
Well, and the other piece to this is the amount of money that they're spending on the illegals that they're bringing in as well. My understanding is it's an estimated $500 million.
It is going to financially break most American cities. I don't think people are quite understanding this. There is no way that the city of Chicago can do what it's talking about doing for the migrants and still have anything left of a budget that they're going to be able to meet with police and fire. The city was already in financial trouble. This is putting them completely over the edge. And they're renovating. And also, the problem is, I got on a press conference with a bunch of Black community leaders when this first came out saying, you're about to appropriate an initial down payment. Trust me, the initial down payment of $50 million.
Right.
And we said, we don't know where this money's coming from. We don't know where this money's going. And they never told us. Then we found out later that something like over $40 million of the $50 million went to one company with political contacts.
Wow.
So it's good old Chicago politics in the end. But now they're talking about spending fantastic amounts of money. And it comes from a diversity of viewpoint. The Democrats see starving mothers with babies on their hips just desperately trying to get a new life. Other people see these people are basically Al Pacino and Scarface coming over the river. They've washed out their prisons. They've said it here. The answer is somewhere in the middle. There are starving mothers with babies on their hips that are trying to find a new life. There are also street people and outright criminals that have come over that border and are now slowly but surely beginning to operate in Chicago. So we're all waiting for the crime problem to explode when all these young men with nothing to do but start to survive by crime.
Well, I've been hearing stories about carjackings and you know individuals going into these stores and Chicago is one of those cities that allows you to steal what is it up to $900 and
$500 yes I'm yeah, not just yeah, stealing
and
there
and there's it. Yeah and there's no consequences so you have businesses now that are you know some of the larger corporations are beginning to close up some of their locations because they're saying, hey, we're not going to play this game. We're not going to keep losing money to people walking in here and stealing. So we're closing the doors. And that kind of shifts our conversation over to another question that I had asked you when we were first getting ready to start. And that is, something that about the grocery stores. And a connection between the grocery stores and communism. Are we talking about empty shelves or what exactly are we speaking of here?
Well, the first thing we're talking about are what are called food deserts.
Okay.
There are large sections of minority neighborhoods where there are no major food stores. There is no grocery store. There is no supermarket. And the reason why is they've been run out of town between the crime and the theft.
Just like I talked about. Yeah.
And
okay.
They can't operate and they're not there.
Right. Okay.
And so these people have nowhere to get their food. So what the city is now talking about, which I think is a terrible idea, but I think they're desperate, they're talking about the city starting up food stores.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's really it betrays the mindset of Brandon Johnson and the people currently running the Chicago government that don't try to fix it with a business rationale. Just have the government do it. And the problem with that is. The boondoggle that is coming is just unbelievable when I start to think about, well, we're going to set our pricing by what we think is fair and the taxpayer is going to have to pick up the rest. That's what's soon coming. I assure you of that. It won't be market capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got to think about the quality of what's going to be on those shelves. I mean, truly, you really have to think about that because they're not going to care. They don't care what they carry. But then the other side to that is, you know, the competition. I mean, this is what you deal with in places like China, where you have the government that is running it, okay, and running the businesses, and the businesses that are not government owned can't afford to remain in the market because the government subsidizes the net loss that the business is experiencing.
But you have to understand, these people are socialists. There's no problem.
Oh no, I understand. I'm just saying, Stephen, that the issue so that people can get a better picture of what's happening. You know, we talk about 15-minute cities. We talk about Agenda 2030. We talk about all these things going on. Chicago is quickly moving in that direction, and just like all of the other leftist cities across the country, they become blueprints for other places to follow.
Well, I will give you a hopeful sign, which is that a lot of people in the minority communities are reacting to this now. The idea that the migrants are being placed in their communities,
right.
They're already, the friction's already starting. The open air drug markets by the migrants are already starting. And as one guy said to me, who's from the South Side and knows what he's speaking of due to a tour in prison, he said, Steve, if there are drug markets, if they're dealing drugs, they have guns, because you cannot deal drugs without guns because you'll be robbed in 30 seconds.
Yep.
So if they're dealing drugs, it means the migrants now have guns. And so people are getting very fearful about what happens when this wonderful, bountiful, oh, they're just poor little migrants, turn into, no, they're the new gang. They're all Venezuelan gang members or something like that. So there's a real, and the people in the neighborhoods, meaning the black people in Chicago, the Hispanic people in Chicago, mm-hmm. who see this going on in their neighborhoods, they're reacting.
Right.
And they're reacting strongly. And we, as the Republican Party, are trying to walk in and say, look, we're with you on this. You know, it's a rejuvenation of sorts by saying, look, we're with you on this.
Right.
These answers are not going to work for you. This road will lead you to nowhere.
Right.
It always has. It never works. It's never worked anywhere in this country, in this world. Everyone points to Europe, but you look at Europe and a lot of their laws would seem positively Republican if you actually looked at what's going on in Scandinavian countries as far as the law. So our point is that I think that the reaction to all this is beginning to build. How far it will go, I do not know. But I know that we as the Republican Party in Chicago are actually trying to get into the discussion in a rational way, not just a complaining way mm-hmm. of saying you cannot do this. But the problem ultimately, as you know, goes back to the Biden administration and the Congress allowing these conditions to exist at the southern border.
Sure.
I can tell you from looking at history that there is no country, you can see time after time in history, from the Roman Empire to a variety of other circumstances, any wealthy, prosperous nation that does not control its borders will fall.
Yeah. Well,
the Roman Empire had that problem, and with the Germans coming over the line because they wanted what was in the Roman Empire. It's just the nature of humanity. They're going to go where the better life is, where the food is, frankly.
Yeah.
And the trouble will start.
Yeah. Well, it's a combination of that, and then also, you know, what's happening in our schools and the indoctrination. We going back to the Chicago School Teachers Association and what you were sharing with regards to that. We are absolutely just seem oblivious to the danger of what's taking place in the schoolroom.
And I think a lot of Americans are oblivious to it because all they're listening to is mainstream media. And the mainstream media is telling the line that the Biden administration and other people want them to say, and they're papering over the problem. Don't look here, look over here. You know, the old squirrel routine.
Right.
And they're doing a lot of that right now. And the public went ahead and elected Brandon Johnson. And now everyone's running around saying, oh, my gosh, look what's going on. Look what's going on. As a famous ex-mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, said, elections have consequences. You guys put this idiot in. You now have to live with him.
Yeah.
And we all have to live with him now. He is the mayor. There's no question about it. I'll call him your honor to his face. You know, he is the mayor of Chicago. So the problem, though, is that the policies that he brings with him and the policies of the Chicago Teachers Union are about to be, are about to become effectively the law here. And then what happens at the next Chicago Teachers Union contract negotiation, when the mayor is virtually their puppet sitting across the table from them? That's when we're going to hit Katie bar the door.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the point at which they, You know, they get everything that they want and then some.
It could be one of the most radical teachers union contracts this country has ever seen. I will not be surprised at that at all.
Well, I think the one of the keys to this, it seems to me, and you talked about it, you know, you're reaching out to people who are beginning to wake up and see, you know, we don't have to change our mind about what we know to be truth. I think it's important that we don't change what we know is true. As these people are waking up and seeing what's happening to them, and now they're looking for that truth. They're looking for how do we get out of this mess? And I think we've got to just keep coming at them with, we've got the solutions over here, and then give them the solutions.
Well, that's pretty much what we're doing. Trying to say, look, the conservative answers are the better answers. And this is a road to nowhere that you're on. And so many of them are waking up to that fact that they're just being played by the Democrats with a lot of money. And that in the end, their children aren't being educated. I mean, these people just want to live their lives. They want to protect their children from crime, which they can't do. They want to get a good education for their children, which they can't do. They want to be able to have proper employment and decent wages and work for their children to do in the next generation. That's not going to happen if Johnny can't read.
Right.
We're rotting out the Chicago labor force. We're getting a bunch of adults who barely can sign their checks from the government. So the problem is that until we start to fix some of these more fundamental problems that are all coming in due to socialist nonsense getting into our mainstream of government, it's going to be a rough road.
And the warning that we gave was is that if the schools are going to produce, you know, that level of clientele or that level of employee, then the businesses are going to do something different, and a lot of them are. They're automating. They're basically saying, hey, okay, you know what? We can't find anybody that'll come up to work, that'll show up on time, that'll consistently be here, that's not stealing from me. So I'm going to use a machine. It's a very dangerous play. There's no question about it. Stephen, thank you for being here. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
ChicagoGOP.com. ChicagoGOP.com. You can follow Stephen there. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Biff Zeppi joins us on the other side. And get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Back with more coming up right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you so much for being here. And let's see. Let me get that clicked out. There we go. And I am very excited to welcome my next guest with me. He is the founder, so the CEO of SHR Media. And just in case you were wondering what that is, that's Sackheads Radio. And I want to welcome to the program Biff Zeppi. Biff, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning. Well, morning to me. Good kind of mid-morning to you.
Yes, I guess it is. Yeah, 9:30 a.m. It's kind of encroaching on the mid morning hour. But yes, certainly earlier than that for you there in mountain time, hiding away in your mountain chalet.
Oddly enough, now this is interesting. I thought there was a 3-hour difference between you and I. I'm on Pacific time. There's a little niche of my state that's on Pacific.
I got it. All right. So you're at 7:30 then. You're 2 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. 2 hours. 2 hours behind me. I was once there for a number of years on that Pacific time, but thankfully you're in free Pacific time.
Oh my gosh, what a difference a state makes.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of the difference that states make, there are a number of states, including the one that you've recently escaped from, where apparently they're trying to run the adage that crime actually will pay.
Oh, well, courtesy of the idiot voters of the state of California, always spell it with a K, they passed Proposition 47 and Proposition 57, which brought various crimes from felonies down to misdemeanors. Let's see, BZ, what crimes would those be? Assault with a deadly weapon, now a misdemeanor. What else? Oh, certain categories of rape. Isn't that pleasant? So not only does California, always spell it with a K, house one-third of the nation's homeless, yay, go California, it also incentivizes crime. You want something? You want to go in and steal it? California's your state.
You know, it's interesting. There was a guy that ran for president back in the 80s. And he was, everybody thought he was gonna win. And until it was discovered that he had let a criminal out, and that criminal committed a rape while they were out. Remember that guy, Dukakis?
Oh, Dukakis, right.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy, if you remember, the guy who was caught sticking his little head up out of the turret of a tank.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yes, Dukakis.
Yes, yes. I you know, for years when those kinds of laws would you know, go on the books, be passed, be, I don't know, followed, whatever, I know other conservatives, and I throw my hat in the ring with that, we would say, you know, I wonder what, you know, the liberal would say who has someone like that show up at their house and they get raped or their kid gets raped. Biff, I still am beyond puzzled by the agreeance with these laws and these people. Who was the wasn't it one of the mayors that was doing the, you know, let the criminals out early, and then she got carjacked?
That was true, and there was also, I think most recently, a council member, if I'm not mistaken, from Portland, I believe, Portland or Seattle, who was assaulted, mugged, not raped, thankfully, but she showed her injuries on photos. She was left bloodied, and all of a sudden, isn't that it's almost like a miracle. She changed her stance on crime.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't recognize, and I can't say my quote on your air, but what I said essentially is crime is extremely personal. And unless more, let's just say, bad things happen to more politicians, more judges, more district attorneys, unless those things occur to them personally and there is a consequence to what it is that they advocate for,
right,
or vote for,
right,
these things don't change. However, magically, should they become the victims of a crime, a rather large event in their lives, things tend to turn around a bit. That is particularly true with judges. Now, yeah. I know you're sitting down because I can see you, but I'm thankful that you're sitting down when I tell you that. Crime is very personal.
Absolutely.
Very personal.
Well, and you know, I think one of the reasons, just to go back to what I was saying, you know, when we talk about, you know, conservatives saying, you know, if so-and-so's, you know, child was raped or they were or what have you. Let's be clear. None of us wishes that on anyone. Okay? But my gosh, those that are promoting these kinds of liberal policy, would you at least consider, when you're making, as you said, these are personal decisions. As you're doing this, would you at least consider the ramifications if it was your child? How are you going to look your child in the face, make the decision, the vote that you make, and they come crying to you because the policy that you instituted caused them physical permanent harm?
You'll notice, and it's not anything even remotely close to what I call a coinkydink, you will notice that most if not all of the individuals who are responsible for policies, philosophies, rules, laws, regulations like this are those who, once again, thank you, Pastor, for sitting down. They are the most isolated from their very own rules and suffer very little to zero consequences for the decisions they make. In other words, the first people to point the finger at the Second Amendment are they themselves, protected quite closely by the Second Amendment,
yeah,
all the way ranging from judges and on up to politicians, the people who make the laws, not just in D.C., but state, local, county, city. All of them have a responsibility, which they seem so readily able to kick aside, and they also do not seldom, cannot say do not, seldom suffer the consequences for their laws and their regulations. That's intentional.
Yeah, well, it certainly would appear that that is absolutely the case, and that, you know, again, they don't consider the ramifications on the issues that they vote on, because, like you said, they are protected. Let's shift our focus way out east to the DC police, and I understand you've been following what's going on with Chief Pamela Smith out there, and her claim that there's been a 30% decrease in crime.
You know, the very sad thing, or the positive thing for you and I, is the fact that we don't live in isolation. We live with the ability where technology allows us to use this very odd thing called a keyboard. And from this keyboard, we can get on the internet. And on the internet, we can refute that claim in about 2.35 seconds once your favorite search engine is consulted. Now, yeah. Oddly enough, what is it, BZ, that I mean? Once that claim was made, all you need to do is, again, go to your favorite search engine and look up. And I'm looking at a website called the National Pulse. And here's a very odd news article. It says, homicides up 29% in Bowser's D.C. Mm-hmm. How very bizarre. And I really didn't have to work hard. I didn't have to sweat. Mm-hmm. There weren't rivulets of water running down my head when I checked that. Also, the... DC, you'll note that DC is really not different from any other what I call leftist urban rat cage. It's the money that is thrown at this is helpful in many occasions, not all. But the money is helpful, but it's actually laws and policies that are driving DC and other leftist urban rat cages down into the ground. And when one realizes, when one looks at, crime in D.C., all you've done is separate, it's like the Who song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Right. Nothing has changed and nothing will change because the person who is the driver of all of this is Bowser. So until Bowser's policy changes, all she did was grab out and reach out into the ozone and pull Chief Smith into her sphere. And Chief Smith has a philosophy of policing. I use that word very loosely policing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you spent 42 years in law enforcement. People should know that you speak as an expert in that field.
I did almost anything and everything that you can think of to do in law enforcement. I worked for the FBI, the U.S. Marshal. I worked for a coastal California, always spell it with a K, county. And then I spent my last 35 years with a 2,000-plus deputy department in California.
So let me ask you this. You know, when we have these conversations or we hear these debates about crime rates and the Dems say, you know, we've reduced the crime in our neighborhood or reduced the crime in our city or what have you. And they say, and I've watched this in Twitter streams, there'll be commentators that'll say, you know, when the conservatives say there's an upswing in crime, you know, those are just right wing, you know, imaginations, if you will. how do they arrive at their numbers that they pretend to put forward versus the numbers that we look at, and where does this come from, and why do they produce this discrepancy, if you will?
The leftist world is this. Okay. First, create a problem. Two, tell them that you're going to solve the problem. Three, make it look like you're solving the problem. And then four, in the process of attempting the problem, steal your freedoms. And then five, if they deign to lower themselves to do so, sell these freedoms back to you. One of the greatest statistics absolutely ignored through this, okay. But you do have to want to find these statistics. That in and of itself is a problem. However, that said, the time of greatest crime is the one through which I worked, mostly as a detective. The time of the greatest crime, including the greatest amounts of gun crime, was the transition from the 80s to the 90s, the early 90s and the mid 90s. Those were the times of the greatest crime that you can use statistics for. But people don't want to tell you that. People don't want to look at that. People don't want to, they don't want you to know that. I keep my finger on the pulse of the Second Amendment specifically and the various things that are included in the Bill of Rights, because that's from which I had to operate. I had to operate within the parameters of the Bill of Rights. So if you ask why those stats are not found, discovered, et cetera, it's because you have to want to find them. I have not seen a passel of irregulars, occasionally termed journalists, so absolutely brain-glazingly uncurious in my lifetime. It used to be that when there was corruption or there were problems in cities, journalists used to at least attempt to hold, say, the police department or various forms of government in check, or at least ask questions. Now it's anathema to even ask a question. If you ask a question, now you're some kind of an ist or an ob. The facts are there, but you have to want to look at them. You have to want to find them. But
does it not also depend on, I mean, in instances where you have, you know, a law enforcement that is following a leftist or Biden policy, you know, where they're kicking down the doors of pro-life people or still kicking down the doors of those that have that were January 6th. Matter of fact, I just saw I think it was a reel or something to that effect. But a host from an InfoWars that was just arrested and charged and is facing 60 days in prison for having voiced his support regarding J6. I guess he went and confronted some of the members of Congress regarding the whole J6 situation, but he's been arrested and is being charged and faces 60 days in prison as a result of that. Did you see that story?
Yes, I also saw the story about the search warrant being served on the individual from J6 who had his, in my opinion, safe opened illegally.
Yes.
And the safe company called Liberty Safe decided that they were going to acquiesce and turn in the codes so that the FBI could go enter the safe. Now, that's a very touchy issue in and of itself. J6, well, let me make a quick comparison before I go to the safe.
Okay.
Do you remember the black individuals that were arrested at the lunch counter for protesting? This was in the early
60s. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
There was a massive hue and a cry when those people were not taken to court and they languished in their jails for about 7 to 8 days. Folks, there are people who are languishing in a jail around D.C. who have been in there and in isolation for over a year. and have not even appeared in court.
Yeah.
But over. That's okay.
Yeah. Some of them pushing 2 years.
Yes. Yes. Under what I consider tyrannical conditions.
Absolutely.
This is the United States of America. Yeah. There are two strata of justice for individuals. One for the elitists and the leftists and those who hold their water, and the rest for everyone else. There's no issue apparently whatsoever about holding a United States citizen for at least a year or up to 2 years before they have their day in court. They're simply languishing. And of course, as a result, we've had a number of suicides. Now, the other portion that I was wanting to get to about Liberty Safe, and they feature no liberty and their safes aren't, is when I used to have to go, let's say I had, there are two types of warrants essentially in crime. There are search warrants and arrest warrants. We're dealing with a search warrant. If I were to want to search an individual's home, and this was when I was working for the federal government as well, but particularly in California, I wrote, I don't know, hundreds of search and arrest warrants. And I also wrote governor's warrants, UFAPs, which are unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, a lot of federal warrants behind that. But if I were looking to seize items in an individual house, the affidavit that I submit would have to be very clear and very specific as to the things that I wanted to search. Now, standard application of that is if in that one level I come across something that has another lock on it, if, for example, there were a box that had a very distinct lock on it, If I were a competent law enforcement officer, I would seek a warrant for that. Now, the more critical the case, the more I would be motivated to acquire a second level warrant for that particular locked box. Now, in this case, we're talking about a safe.
Right.
A safe's purpose is only for one. You're going to find items, you would think, generally of very high value, high evidential value in that, and perhaps indicia of some kind of a crime within that safe. So a smart law enforcement officer, again, depending upon the criticality of the crime, would go to their DA or their AG or whomever that happened to be, write the affidavit specifically for, on the second level, wanting to get into that safe. Now, someone apparently called Liberty Safe in an attempt to get into the safe.
Right.
Liberty Safe said, oh, do you have a warrant for that? Well, yes, they had a warrant for the house, but they didn't have a warrant, nor did they present Liberty Safe.
For the safe, right.
For a special select warrant for that, which would, of course, have to indicate the serial number as specific as you can get, and they know exactly what that serial number was, and then present that demand to that company. But because they were told by the FBI that they had a warrant for a safe or for the house, they presumed Liberty Safe that, as far as they were concerned, yes, we will give you
exactly will comply.
What you need.
Well, let me give folks an idea of what happens now to this individual. And by the way, the gentleman we were talking about is regarding the 60 days is Owen Schroyer, S-H-R-O-Y-E-R, Owen Schroyer. He was sentenced to 60 days in prison for speech crimes. The DOJ claimed that he was responsible for helping to create January 6th through his speech. Through his speech. Now, here's another piece, by the way, and this is why you saw me just put my hands on my head. An autopsy has confirmed 22-year-old Trump supporter shot himself. Jordan Meacham, another suicide as a result of this out of control tyrannical regime, brought charges, 4 counts against him for walking inside of the open doors on the U.S. Capitol with a Trump flag, four counts brought against him. He committed suicide. And you say, why? Let me read this to you. Today, the D.C. jail announced that the J6 Patriot pod would be on lockdown for refusing to submit to COVID testing. This lockdown status is a horrific recurring nightmare for many of the 40 January 6 detainees surviving in the gulag. In an exclusive interview with Gateway Pundit obtained from J6 prisoner for 980 days without a trial, Jake Lang, we learned what it was like to live through nearly 20 months of solitary confinement and COVID lockdowns. No family visitation, no lawyer meetings, no haircuts, no going outside for fresh air, no cooking or showering regularly, and no religious services. This is the kind of nonsense that is being done to the J6ers. And I will put up what you can do about it, but there's a number four major, the Deputy Director of Major Command, the U.S. Marshals, and the D.C. City Council, where you can call. And if you go to AmericanGulag.org, AmericanGulag.org, and click on the article, Torture and Abuse, D.C. Officials Place January 6th Prisoners in D.C. Gulag Back on COVID Lockdown. It's atrocious, Biff. It's absolutely atrocious.
This is this harkens back to, and oddly enough, I have the original three copy version of this, to the Gulag Archipelago from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the book that he wrote about being placed in a gulag because of, you know, you mentioned speech. What novel does this harken back to? 1984 by Eric Arthur Blair, otherwise known as George Orwell.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that a banana republic does. And folks, you're watching your freedoms go down the drain, and people are not... Give it time, the monster will come after you someday. And it's funny you should mention InfoWars. Do you recall, Pastor, that InfoWars many times was regarded as nothing but packed with conspiracy theories? You know, all those conspiracy theories that have now been proven true. How odd, how bizarre that is.
Yeah, there's a lot of information that was put out that definitely was true. There was some confusing stuff that was in the midst of all of that as well, but there was certainly a great deal of information that was put out, Biff, that 100% has come true, including the interview that Jesse Ventura did with him many, many moons ago, and we're seeing it. And I guess at the end of the day, here's what I'm going to say. We have got to get back to our Judeo-Christian God foundation. We have got to put Jesus Christ back in at the forefront of our country again. And we absolutely, and as Christians, we have a biblical responsibility to be engaged in what's happening in our nation, and we must stand for truth. We can no longer sit back and watch this take place. It is absolutely critical. We have to pray. There are warfare prayers, spiritual warfare prayers that we need to be praying. But in addition to that, we need to be acting on what the Word tells us to do. Biff, thank you. Appreciate you being with me today. Lots of ground covered. SHR Media. SHR Media. Biff Zeppi, CEO. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Pastor Greg, thank you again very kindly for having me here. God bless you, sir, and your listeners and watchers.
And you can get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Stay tuned here on TECN-TV, Texas Fully Loaded, coming up right now with our good friend Sondra Witten and her crew over there. We'll be back tomorrow with more Chosen Generation Radio.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.